So thanks for your patience, everybody. Let me tell you what I know that we need to do, and you can tell me if there's other things. I think we need to just kind of check in quickly about the key group format for tomorrow, make sure we're all set on that. I think we are, pretty much. I've got a couple of details about that to tell you about. We got to look at what reading we're going to do for the first week. We need to tell you about the geographic email we're working on. I've got a small, medium list of individual questions that have not yet been answered. And I think that will probably take our time, and that's what I've got for now. Is anybody aware of anything else that that might not be on my list that we should make sure we cover on this call?
Dave, this is Catherine.
Catherine.
Are you still sending out the guided centering?
Yeah, that's the first topic. Yep.
And
sure.
And the explanation of the guidelines.
Yeah, we'll have to check in with Chris in just a minute on that.
Okay. My group starts Sunday, so I was just wondering about
Sunday.
That. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Thank
that's
you.
True. That's the first. That would be the one. Okay, good.
Thank you.
Anything else, broad strokes, that that you may be concerned that I don't have?
Dave, this is Jan.
Jan?
I've been out of town, so I'm catching up a little bit. If we only have the old version of the key, the original version, those of us that are in that situation need to have the page numbers for the reading.
Well, you need to have a new book is what you need.
Yeah, and I don't have that, and I'm supposed to facilitate Tuesday, so I just want to make sure I've got the right page.
Okay, there's probably a copy down at the Palo Alto Zen Center that you could have.
Yes, I just won't be there till so if it's possible, if I could email someone or someone could email me, I'd appreciate it, just to have it ahead of time.
Okay, I'm not sure if you actually need it ahead of time, Jan. It's just a matter of, because isn't anything you have to repair. It's just a matter of knowing what you have to read, and then you facilitate.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks.
Okay, good. All right, I'm going to go ahead and start, and then at the end, I'll leave a little time at the end to see if there's anything I've left out. So for the key groups, last week, I think folks know we went through and we got set in our curriculum, and I feel like it's real solid and it's good. The thing Catherine was talking about, a centering exercise, is on the way. We looked at it today. We actually have a number that all seem really good, and we're just going to pick one. It's all completely ready to go and send it out to you folks. The one thing we don't have is an ending exercise. You know, we're going to begin and end with that. And I was going to, I was going to ask for a volunteer to write it up very quickly so we can kind of get it through. And let me tell you what my notes were from last time. Hold on just one second. Okay, here we go. That we were going to do kind of like a body, feelings, mind sort of a thing. And it was going to be, we were going to basically kind of do like a little guided meditation for people where we, you know, we kind of bring them to the breath, check in with their bodies and stuff, give them a little bit of time to breathe, and then do a little reminder, something like, you know, and now, you know, keeping your attention on your breath, you know, counting your breath, let them go a little bit longer, do another little reminder. So we keep on bringing their attention back to the meditation in just little ways like that is a way to kind of have them have a meditation experience and that's slightly guided. Is that what other people remember?
And Dave, you're talking about this is the ending thing, not the beginning, because the beginning thing, we've already got the centering thing. So at the ending thing, we'd just be basically doing it is quite literally a guided meditation. Yeah. Okay. I'd be happy to write it up if you want to. Mm-hmm. Before Sunday for Catherine.
Thank you.
Yeah, the rush job. Yeah, it should be pretty easy. Thanks for volunteering to do that. And we wanted to include something I didn't mention, Jen, is maybe a little bit of appreciation. Tracy brought that up last time, just appreciation for people's willingness to be there, you know, that sort of thing. Okay, good. So what about that, folks? Do folks feel set on what you're doing next week, whether you're just whether you're a sitting group, actual official sitting group head, or a key group head? You guys feel, everybody feel clear? Or are there questions or issues about that?
Dave, this is Catherine again.
Catherine?
I'm not sure if this is what you mean, but mine's going to be in my living room.
Uh-huh.
Should I be trying to, you know, make everything look very bland, like remove art from the walls and cover the floral printed couch and, you know, to sort of try to make it non-distracting. I'm willing to do that. I just wondered what your guidance would be on that.
Yeah, I know the right answer, but instead of just me always saying the answer, I'm gonna facilitate. Who has a perspective on that?
No.
That's right answer. Perspective, all right.
Does that seem right to everybody else?
Yeah.
Everybody will know it's your living room, and it's, you know, we can expect floral printed couches and. Not a problem.
Okay. All right,
Dave, this is Chris.
You.
How about something like personal photos, a little frame on a table, sitting next to the couch or something like that? Would that be?
Oh, if
good,
it's easy
like,
to
maybe?
Do, I don't feel like it's all terribly necessary.
Okay.
But you know, if it's easy to do, sure, why not?
Yeah, like little things that are easy to do that would have, you know, even the best intentioned people and we, you know. Will have a tendency to want to, you know, oh, what is there? Oh, they have kids. Oh, that's neat. You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it seems like really personal things could be put away if it's easy.
Okay, good. Other things about getting started?
Dave, this is Deanna. I think I'm the echo.
Yeah.
Let me hang up and I'll call back.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Bye.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, just a second, Michael. Mickey, I imagine you're probably taking notes. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, thank you very much. Michael.
Yeah, for Sunday, would I start this Sunday, or does the week start on Monday, or do you have a preference?
That's a good question, actually. We have to decide that, don't we? When? Because it's got to be the same every week. Could we figure that, let's see, we're in the first week of April.
Dave, if our calls are going to be on Friday and Saturday, then it ought to start this Sunday.
I start this Sunday. That makes sense. And, yeah, Catherine's already committed, so that'll be good. Can you guys pull that off here, Michael?
Yeah. And then from your conversation with Jan, you're going to tell us which pages of the key to read to start with?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to do that in just a second. I looked at it today and have a suggestion.
Okay, great.
Actually, why don't I go ahead and do that since it came up? So I was looking at it, and... I think it's going to be really easy to pick because it's, you know, they're like in little bitty sections, and usually the section either, you know, it ends on a page, typically is what I notice. It doesn't, like a topic doesn't tend to end in the middle of a page. You can do it just by page numbers. For example, you know, I was looking at page one, in my view, is a complete topic. You know, page two and three is all about the difference between what and how. You know, the what's of life, and that it bleeds over from two to three. So, for example, we might do week one, just page one. Week two, page two and three, like that, and just keep on going through and just divide it up as it's kind of divided up naturally in the book according to the topics that Sherry and June have organized. How's that seem to folks?
It sounds really good.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah.
So we'll be doing it for months and months. There's 131 pages, so... But anyway, that's good. I think it's going to be fun. We're going to do it here at the monastery, too, so we're really excited. I think it's going to really help us all deepen our practice. So let me tell you what that would look like. So page one is pretty short. It says, please do not do yourself the disservice of assuming there is something to do that is more important than just being. Right here, right now, present, aware, attentive, accepting.
We could do that page every week.
Every day.
Yeah, we really could. And so we'll just need a little process to make sure everybody is on the same page, a couple different ways, every week. And I was thinking, you know, maybe we might ask for a volunteer, somebody who'd be willing to kind of go through the book and in plenty of time every week, let us know what the next assignment is. Would anybody enjoy doing that?
I would, Dave. I'm not sure what you're asking, though.
Well, it would be just to look like, you know, that's what I did this afternoon. I just looked, okay, well, what feels like the first thing to do? Well, page one, that's a complete topic. And then, you know, to just look to see what feels like is the next chunk that we want to do each week and then email it to the facilitation coordinator.
Sure, this is Ramita. I'd be happy to do that.
Oh. Thanks a lot, Ramita. Yeah, got that. Okay, good. Excellent.
So, Dave, this is Lynette. I have a question. So,
okay,
we do this, and I was kind of wondering, so will I have different members of the group speak, or would I speak first, or am I going to speak about what that is to me at all?
You mean after you do the reading?
Yeah, after the reading.
Okay, I'm going to open that up to other people. What do we do after the reading?
I would think that assuming you have an actual group that you, you know, more than you, people you're facilitating, I would think you're the facilitator, so you read the section, and then you say, so what are people seeing about that? And then you go ahead and facilitate people. And, you know, there are places as a facilitator where sometimes your own, what you're seeing about it comes into it in the sense of, you know, someone's talking about something and you might, you know, throw something in like, yeah, and I see for myself with that, you know,
mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't see the facilitator saying what I'm seeing about that is such and such, because for one thing, that leaves sort of an empty space in the room, and that no one's going to facilitate the facilitator, and so you're just kind of speaking out there. So I was mostly throwing it out to the group.
Yeah, in my experience, especially with folks who really kind of haven't been around much, if you offer much of your opinion, people are going to try to put you in the role of a teacher, and instead of being a facilitator. And I can guarantee you that's not something you want to have happen to you.
So if something naturally comes out in the facilitation, that's fine, but I'm not going to take a turn.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, you're the facilitator. And I realize, too, as Jen was talking, that that's going to have to be an important part of the orientation. You know, what's expected here in just a minute? You know, we're going to do a reading, and then I'm going to say, you know, what did you notice? And then folks will have a chance to say whatever they want to say in terms of their own experience, and all that, the kind of the guidelines around that are in those guidelines we worked on. And then I will facilitate you, just so people know kind of, you know, what's the plan exactly when it gets to that point.
Dave, this is Marie. I have a question about that. Do people have to stay on topic? I mean, say they're really looking at, it's for a sitting group, say they're really looking at something in their practice that, well, this page one would probably work for anything, but, you know.
Yep. What do folks see about that?
Well, I'm thinking, this is Melinda, I'm thinking when we often have groups that we start with the daily peace quote, and we may talk about that and what arises for people about that quote quite a bit, and then there could be sort of a segueing very naturally into, well, and what I'm seeing happen to me today seems to really relate to this, and that there's a natural expansion of the conversation from the original topic.
Yeah, what I'm seeing as you're saying that, Melinda, is it's kind of the facilitator's role, job, rather than the retreatant's, to stay on topic.
Yeah.
I mean, folks who have been around will kind of, anyway, in my experience, the energy that's available in the room as a facilitator comes with staying on topic, you know, because going off topic is essentially going off into conditioning in a form. But we can't require to do that anyway. But what we can do is we can talk about whatever, we can reflect whatever they're saying in terms of what the topic is, to help all of us stay on topic and all of us stay focused. You know, the more focused everyone stays on what we're talking about, the better the energy will be in the room.
Well, a couple little tricks are coming up for me around that. So if the very first person says, who puts up their hand, says something like, well, it's not really about that, but I have something I've been looking at, you can know that person is in trouble. And so what you could do as a facilitator is say, you know, hang on to that. Let's see what people are hearing about, I mean, are seeing about the, you know, the reading, and then, you know, we'll, you know, something like that, just kind of deferring it for later in the group. And then very likely, I mean, like Marie's saying, that first page could incorporate just about anything. It always does. Everything relates to everything in practice. And then later on in the group, if someone puts their hands up for something like that, you could say something like, well, given kind of what we've seen in the discussion tonight, what are you seeing about it? Because very likely someone brings something up that seems off topic, but it's that night, it's happening in the context of the discussion. They may not even realize that it's been triggered by something in the discussion. And so often if you ask them something like that, like, well, you know, in the context of what we're seeing tonight, what are you seeing about that? they'll almost always be able to come up with some way that it relates to what's going on.
Yeah, that's good. I was seeing, too, that in the same way that we can kind of talk about everything under any topic, we can also facilitate everything under any topic. So if somebody says XYZ, we happen to be, let's say we're talking about subpersonalities, we might reflect that in terms of subpersonalities rather than in terms of what they said actually. And it's still reflecting what they said and still saying it's staying on topic from their point of view, but it's also bringing the group back to the topic that we're all looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Other folks have comments on this?
David, Deanna. I have a little bit of, there's going to be two people at my group, and I could imagine finishing our discussion far before the hour is done.
Fine. Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Was there more?
There's kind of that, and then I have a second issue. Yeah.
Okay, who would speak to that?
Well, this is Rebecca, and I think that may be my case, too. There may just be a couple of people. And usually in our sitting group, when in the past when that's done, when we just make a show and thank you for coming and we close the group, no matter if it's, just 30 minutes in or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems good. Is that for other folks in the world who are doing this kind of thing, does that feel good, like it works for a sitting group?
Yes.
Yes.
Dave? Danny,
go ahead,
for
Danny.
For a sitting group or for a key group?
Probably either one, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For a sitting group, we've gone for 5-10 minutes in silence. And something will eventually come up for somebody. I never realized it was an option to end earlier because the discussion seemed to run dry.
Yeah, I think it definitely is enough. We even do that here at the monastery sometimes. The one difference between the sitting groups and the key groups is you guys are meditating. And so it would be possible to say, okay, well, since we seem to be done, how about if we end group tonight with a short meditation period?
Yeah, this is Chris. just to underline something what Danny said, it seems to me really good to be able to have some silence in there, too, if it happens, to not be afraid of having some silent periods and in the middle of a discussion.
Yeah, that we can know that that's okay and that's not a bad thing and it's not uncomfortable. And then when it gets to the point where it's obvious that, okay, we're done. There's really, and we can move on, either let them go or we can do another little sit.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Was there more? Deanna, I think you had another one.
I guess, I have two of my closest people in my world coming, and I'm a little afraid that they're going to, when it's over, they're going to go, okay, let's play cards, because we're pretty fanatical card players. I guess I want some guidance. I'm assuming that when it's over and the night's over. And we walk to our cars and we say, and we don't say goodnight.
Well, what do people think?
Well, I think it would be super fun to practice with that. And if I could just imagine myself in that situation. I think what I would do is kind of bring my buddies in on that decision. So it's not weird, but it's just sort of like, hey, if we were just people going to group and we didn't really know each other, here's how it would go. And someone emailed us recently talking about doing kind of a group with their family. And it's sort of a fun way to be with one's, you're used to being with your friends and family in a certain way, but to bring in these guidelines and just for that one period of time to follow a particular guideline seems like it could be really fun and powerful. So to maybe just say, I was thinking we would experiment with just pretending we're just members of a group. And for that evening, we just end it like we would any other group and go our separate ways and give ourselves the rest of the evening on our own.
I had a thought as you're saying that, Jen, that it could even be that it's not necessarily evening, But it would be like you could make, as long as they know what's expected, I think is the main thing. But it could be you make a plan with everybody. If you're going to have a group and it ends, and then you're going to take an hour to just be with yourself, and then you might all come back together and play cards. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I think it would have to be up to you, Deanna, to kind of navigate through that. But the attitude of mind that you're speaking from, I think, is the key one, is that you're attempting to, you know, to keep the integrity of what you're trying to do, even with people you're close to.
Hey, Dave. This is Karen.
Karen.
Hey, so, you know, the Dan and Haley group, we're all really very close friends, and what you have outlined is really what we model. You know, we just show up and practice, and then we leave. And there may be some discussion, there may be some little things going on, but basically we honor the privileged environment in the best way we can.
And that goes well, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fun. We really enjoy it.
I bet everybody does. I mean,
yeah.
People love the privileged environment. I know.
Yes.
we all do.
Mm-hmm. But, I just really wanted to affirm what you were pointing at.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, this is
yeah,
Marie.
Go ahead.
Because being in a small town, it seems like the only people that ever come to my sitting group are people that know me fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it feels like that gets really covered in the orientation here. And we kind of do have the policy where you just go to your cars in silence.
Uh-huh.
And so there's really not a place for anything to happen. You know, there's not really a time when anything, any kind of discussion can happen like that.
Yeah, and that seems important, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels really important in a town or with friends to me.
Or with anybody, because, you know, even strangers might come and, you know, they might be coming there to make friends or to, you know, meet partners or, you know, to get all kinds of different needs met. And so we want to set up a structure where it's really clear that that's not what we're doing during that time.
Yeah, and I think when we make it really clear, then it's not really that uncomfortable either, because they understand that that's what, you know, that's how we do it.
Yeah, that's the key. And that they've had a chance to agree to it.
Right, right.
Yeah, so in knowing that, you know, you're going to support me in this, what that means is this is what I'm going to be expecting of you. And then everybody's on the same page. And then, like you say, it's really, it feels natural and it's comfortable for everybody.
It's actually a really relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the relief not to have to be social.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else about starting up this week that we need to address?
This is Tony.
Go ahead, Tony.
Because I was a few minutes late last week, so you might have already talked about this. Like, when will we do the orientation part?
Oh, we do it at the very beginning. Let me run through that real quick.
Okay.
I've got to find my note. Or maybe does somebody else remember and want to? Right. Yeah, it's in the call notes. I'll go ahead and lay out what I've got. That folks are for the first group. Folks are going to come and as they arrive, we're going to kind of help them just to know what to do at the very beginning. You know, where to sit. They're going to face the wall, we decided, and you know how to do all that. And then once everybody's there, then we ask them to turn around. And the first thing we do is the orientation.
Okay. Great.
Before we do anything else. And then once the orientation is completely done, then we do the let's see, what did we decide for the first group? Do we go right into the do we do a quiet reflection or do we go right into the reading? Does anybody remember?
Centering. We do the centering thing first.
Okay, that's right. We do the centering. And then we do the reading, do the facilitation, finish with the smaller centering, and then we're done.
Great. Thank you. Okay.
And those are that's in the call notes that went out from last week's meeting, too.
Oh, okay.
Anybody else?
Yeah, David.
This is
David.
Jan.
Go ahead, Jan. And then, David, you're next.
Okay.
For Palo Alto, since we have two groups this, you know, on a regular basis, on Tuesday, shall we do the same reading?
Yeah,
there may or may not be duplication of people.
Yeah, I think that will work. That's what the folks down there want to do. Does that seem like a problem to anybody? Yeah, people are pointing out it actually, Phil was saying this, it might actually be really kind of fun to get a double dose.
Okay, thank you.
David.
Yeah, I just wanted to get a little bit of clarification, if I could, on the role of making gusho in the key group, especially at the end. So I think what I'm hearing is that we will finish the group, and then there will be a short centering exercise to finish. And then at that point, is it that we stand up and make gusho to what we've been sitting on, and then turn to the center of the room so everybody to wait for everybody, and then make gusho before we leave? Is that kind of what we're looking for, or is there some other guidance on that?
No, that's funny. We actually have not talked about that, and that's a great topic. Anybody have a point of view?
I'd like to see, this is Ramita, I'd like to see something mentioned about gusho, maybe in the context of the privileged environment, as something that we do as part of our practice and invite people to use it. I know that it's so much a part of how I am in the context of the privileged environment that I'll probably be making gusho and like people to understand what that is and invite them to or not, but just so we have some explanation for it.
Yeah, so we might explain that in as a part of the orientation.
Yeah.
And, myself,
and it would be great to actually get, like, what description we should give them of gusho, because I kind of have my own internal experiential of it, but it'd be nice to actually get, like, okay, these are the words to use.
Yeah, that would be part of the orientation, I would think. It'd be the honesty part about it. That's what I'm looking at. It'd be like telling people we're going to be coming in silence and we're going to be leaving in silence, so that folks don't think it's weird. That's the only thing. We just communicate and say that this is what we do. This is how you can be recognized. There's no obligation to bow or make gusho at all, but we recognize quicker if you do because you're used to it.
I think it would also be helpful, Dave, this is Penny. I think it'd be also helpful to tell people what it means.
Yeah, I think that's what Tracy was suggesting. The way we say it here, Tracy, is that it's just a gesture of acknowledgement and respect. And the way we look at it is my heart and your heart are one. And, you know, when my heart is one hand, your heart's the other hand, put them together, palm to palm, are one. Does that cover that?
So do we do that at the end of the...
You're right. We didn't finish that. Well, so what do folks think? So are we going to... The sitting groups, I know, you know, they enter and leave the hall formally. Shall we say the same for key groups or something different?
Dave, this is David again.
Uh-huh.
So I've been having some, you know, close friends come over and do just some practice with reflective listening, and that's how we were ending, was to kind of stand up and make gusho to where we're sitting and then turn and face the group. And the first time, it was for sure somewhat awkward for some of my friends, but I have to say it's become just an incredibly nice way to leave in silence. It kind of wraps everything together, and then off everybody goes without any I project, at least, without any need to kind of hang around and see if there's anything else to deal with and stuff. And so kind of for what it's worth from my end, I really appreciated that, and I'd love to see it in there if that's possible.
Yeah, that makes that sounds really good. It's kind of like it gives you a way to do it, you know, that everybody can do, and to avoid all the awkwardness of, okay, what the heck do I do now in between now and my car?
Yeah.
And people love rituals too, you know, and I bet people really would get to look forward to doing that, because where else in your life do you get to bow, you know, in a group?
Yeah, I like the idea too. This is Janet. I'd like to see us doing that.
Might as well, huh? We do it everywhere else.
And so, David, I'm curious, do you guys, do you do the leave formally, counterclockwise, bow at the door, bow to each other kind of thing, or do you do a group bow and then off you go out of the room?
Well, we don't do the clockwise, the counterclockwise thing, but we do the group bow, and then some of the cushions, you know, the places where people have been sitting, you know, people, we just kind of push them to the side, and then everybody in a very kind of unselfconscious way makes their way to the door, and away people go in silence, and there really is no there's just really no space to, there's nothing else to really be done, so it,
That's neat. That's kind of what I was saying. So it's sort of a middle way in a sense. It's doing group bow, and then off you go, but not necessarily, I mean, I don't think if people wanted to do it, I would think they could, but not necessarily having to do the kind of single file bow at the door, bow to each other routine.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely, it's almost that once we've had the group bow, from what my experience, at least what I project onto it, is that's enough. And that's exactly, you know, that the evening is, people are just with themselves at that point. And I think just from some of the feedback I've gotten, there's a great appreciation for that from everybody.
Yeah, well, I'm sure on board. Other people?
Hello.
Yes.
Sounds great.
Okay, super. Good. Other issues like that? I'll tell you what, let me run through the other ones I've got, and then we'll see. They'll probably bring up others that we need to do on the way. Okay, so we're working on a geographic email. Go out. It probably will be early next week before it actually goes out. And this would be, my understanding, what we got to is just an email announcing the actual official sitting groups and the new program, not so much the key groups, because then we start to kind of blend those two different tracks in a way we don't want to. So that will go out in a little bit. Deanna, we need to do something special for yours, and so we're working on that also.
Okay.
Actually, I'll contact you tomorrow probably about that, and maybe you and I can work something out. Let's see. Is Jen Yost on the call?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Your question was about, I know, it's a whole other topic. It's about the workshop, the giving and receiving workshop coming up, I think it's August the 8th. There were a couple questions about that. So just to make sure everybody understands kind of what the offer is, we sent out an email earlier in the week, saying that, you know, it's a Skyped workshop, and so there's the opportunity to participate from afar. We were thinking it would be fun for anyone who can do it, for the folks who are coordinating groups to have their group participate. And so you could all get together in one place around one computer and participate from afar. So that's why we sent it out to you first. If you want to do that, you'll need to go ahead and register as soon as you can, because we're getting ready to open it up to everybody else in the entire world. We might already have, actually. And so you might want to there's a limited number of spots. So you want to go ahead and get your registration and do that. And then, you know, Chris emailed in saying, hey, what about doing, you know, getting the group together and maybe doing a sit beforehand, which seems like would be a fun thing to do. And so there's just an invitation there for folks. And, Jen, your question was, if you weren't going to be able to be there, if members of your group could still participate. I'm kind of thinking not, Jen, just because there wouldn't be anybody to organize it. Now, they could participate.
Sure.
As individuals, mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if it would be good to get them together as a group, since you, as a person who's representing the privileged environment, won't be there to kind of keep an eye on that. I'm not sure that would actually work.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks.
Okay. So anything, while we're on the topic of that workshop, do folks feel clear about what's going on with that, or any questions or comments?
Yeah, Dave, this is David again.
Hmm?
This is David. I have a question on that.
Go ahead, David.
So just to make sure I'm clear, so it would be kind of, I would register for I would kind of let my group know, and then I would register for the workshop, and it would be just me who registered, and then my group would then come over during the hours of that workshop, and through the Skype, we would be able to participate as a group. Is that the way it's set up?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Okay, and I have one other question. Yeah, go
sure.
ahead.
Yep.
So my other question, too, was as I send the email out to people in my group, I did notice in terms of signing up, a donation would obviously be greatly appreciated. So do I then also, if people in my group are interested, would I pass that information along to them, or how would that be transmitted?
The donation for that workshop, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking that as you were saying that. I would say a couple things occur to me. One, with the invitation, you could say the monastery is offering this on a donation basis. If you feel moved to donate, and you could give them the link to the donation page. And then I would think you could also mention it the day of, you know, maybe at the end of the workshop. And hopefully, you know, those of us doing the workshop will remember to throw it in at the end of the workshop too. But you could even say something, and if they wanted to leave money with you, you know, if it was convenient for you, you could, you know, maybe write one check from their cash or, you know, whatever works for each group, I would think.
Okay, yeah, that answers that. Thank you.
And then that's a good point in general, that as a part of every group, we need to say something about donations, I think. Just give people an opportunity to donate because, you know, this is, we're doing this for us, it's true, but it costs money to do it for us. And so it'd be great if we could get all these people who we're going to be out there working with to help support it.
Dave, this is Catherine. The last Skype workshop I participated in, I had a headset. Can a group do that without headsets or
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday with our IT people. What you can do is you can mute yourself on the computer,
uh-huh.
And then you don't have to have a headset, and you can use the speaker.
Use the speaker. Okay, thank you.
You have to mute yourself, and I imagine there'll be information that'll go out about that. Yeah, there'll be supportive information like that going out before the workshop.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And Marie, you might have more up-to-date information than I do, but it's potentially possible that although the workshop is live on our website, that the sign-up for Skype is not quite there yet. So if it's not, don't worry about it. It's well on its way. You know, check back in 24 hours or something.
Okay.
Hey, anything else about the workshop? All right, moving right along. Karen Meichler, you had a question about the Sit, Walk, Sit at your group.
Yep, I did.
Did I say it or do you want to?
Either way. So the first meeting of the month, we do that. And my question was, do we continue to do that to stay in sync with the key work or what? What's the guidance around that?
Yeah. And I know Chris, the same issue came up for Chris because they
right.
were going to talk to
right.
him too. And Chris, I think what we decided was it would be best to maybe not do that for a while so you can stay in step. Is that what you got?
Yes. Well, and we're very willing. We are very willing to do that.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay, good. Does that seem like everybody else?
Dave, this is Marie. I'm fine with that too, but I don't quite understand why.
Well, I think the idea was so that we were all doing the same thing at the same time, especially for training purposes, so that when we come together to talk about what happened during the week, we all would have had the same experience.
So we do our regular meditation in the group, and then we just don't do the walking meditation part and then go straight to the discussion.
Do you, let's see.
Now, in Marie, they may have a different schedule than what I referred to.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're talking about the same thing, Marie. What they're doing, instead of doing a group discussion once a month, one week a month, they're doing a sit, walk, sit.
Oh, okay.
So there would be no discussion,
okay.
So that means that there would be no way for them to talk about, you know, do the topic for the week.
They
were offering to forgo that for a while so that they can be doing the same thing as everybody else.
Okay, yeah, that helps because we usually do a meditation, then a walking meditation, then the discussion.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever, I think we're,
okay.
For the student groups, we're fitting it into whatever the usual format is. So if that's your usual format.
Okay, yeah. That helps. That makes sense now.
Okay, let's see. Next question was from Tony about how shall people signal the facilitator and about looking at the facilitator or not.
Well, yeah, like do we encourage them to make a show when they want to speak?
Who has a take on that?
Yeah, this is David.
David?
Yeah, I spoke to this a little bit earlier, and, you know, it's it started out with one of those things where, you know, I kind of made the offer of, well, you know, when you want to speak, you know, if it feels appropriate to you to make a show, then, you know, please feel free. And I would say, you know, by the second time we met, people, kind of what you pointed out earlier, people really, really enjoy it. I mean, it's just, you know, not necessarily, you know, again, I presented it in a way that was an offer or an opportunity as opposed to kind of a mandatory thing. And boy, it just seems like it's just really, really, it's very supportive of the whole environment.
Yeah, it really is. It really, in order to make a show, you really have to kind of be in touch with what you're actually trying to do. And of course, even here at the monastery, you know, we tell people, you know, you'll see people doing this, you know, make a show, here's what it means, you know, here's what it's all about, but it's technically optional. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to. If you want to be acknowledged, you can just raise your hand instead.
Okay. That sounds great.
Okay. And then about looking at the facilitator, generally what we do around here, and it seems like it would apply that, in all of these cases, would be it's perfectly fine to look at the facilitator while you're talking. You might look to see whether or not that is what you want to do, or, you know, often people will, you know, look down instead in an effort to practice being present, but it's not a requirement. It's fine to look at the facilitator. We'd ask people not to stare at the other people in the room while they're talking.
Right. Great.
I wasn't completely clear when you were saying that, Dave, but so in other words, like during the group discussion, if I'm not speaking, you could practice, if you feel like you need to look at someone, then look at the facilitator. Definitely not at the other group participants. And then when you're speaking, you know, we generally do look at the facilitator. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, let's see. Next is, okay, Deanna had a question about how to handle questions about the practice. And Deanna, I actually didn't completely understand your question from your email. Maybe you wouldn't mind articulating it again.
Well, I could imagine people before or after trying to learn more about the practice, like what is this, who's Sherry Huber, you know, is this Zen, what, you know. I can imagine people being very curious, and, you know, if we're silenced when they arrive and silenced when we go, we might answer that, but I can imagine people trying to email or call or, you know, learn more, and I wasn't sure how to talk to folks about the practice. Yeah.
Well, luckily, the way the environment's set up is they'll have very little opportunity to ask those kind of questions,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's all happening within a privileged environment in silence before and after, and then during a group, it's really focused. You know, if somebody were to ask a question like, "Who is Sherry Huber?" during group, you know, you'd have to see what the situation is. But a lot of times, you can just kind of skillfully go around things like that. But one resource that everybody has is the web. And so if people have a lot of questions about the organization and who everybody is and how it works, then it would be easy to refer them to the website, and they could probably learn just about everything they want from there. So that's one. That's what comes up for me. What comes up for other people in response to that?
Dave, this is Karen. There could be, like, actually, when we have the guidelines on our poster board, we actually have also a page of the different links and resources available.
Yeah, that's nice. Actually, Marie had a suggestion that we make a whole packet like that, which is a really good idea, I think, that has, yeah, just like basic information and how to get involved kind of stuff that
mm-hmm.
everybody could have and hand out.
Yeah, Dave, this is Marie. I would volunteer to do that if we decide to do it.
You know, the other thing we could do, Marie, is to do some form of a post-event email to the sitting group people. I mean, to the key/ sitting group people. Like if the
mm-hmm.
key groups and the sitting groups wanted to send us a list of folks who are participating with them and their email addresses, we could probably send out that thing that has every resource on there, I think.
Yeah, and we could probably also send something they could actually send to people, if that seems right.
Yeah, that's true. The trickier part about that is that they'd have to, you know, you're usually the one who's so on making sure whatever goes out is current.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if sitting group heads had a document themselves, they'd have to periodically be writing into us for the more current version.
Yeah, that's right. Good point.
Yeah, it sounds like we almost need a kind of a system to kind of keep it all working. Marie, how big of a project would it be to come up with you know, kind of the first go-round of that?
I don't think it would be very hard. You know, probably the harder part might be, well, just that it seems like the groups would have to send an email list to us, and then we would send the email to that list. So whatever goes into that exchange of getting those email lists.
Well, what I was wondering, this might be a completely bad idea, and that's totally all right if it is, but what I was wondering is just in the short term, what if we put something together we could email to all the coordinators that they could print out and hand to people who come to their group, and that way everybody could have something that they could take home that would answer all those kind of questions. And then, you know, after that, we could create a system for, you know, how do we want to kind of do that sort of thing ongoing.
Okay.
Is that a terrible idea, or?
Dave, this is Catherine. I think that sounds like a good idea, and I also think we've talked about making copies of the guidelines to give to people.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
They'd have their own, and I mean, we could put you know, the website on that and kind of thing, or.
Yeah, what do you think, Marie? Do we want to try to do this, or I don't know how pressing.
I think it would
be
fairly simple. I'm just trying to get a sense of. What it would be, because, you know, we have that two-page flyer that talks about all of the Living Compassion stuff that probably only needs a minor update to become a good handout. And then we had that one end-of-retreat flyer that tells people how to plug into the practice. We already have that done.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or we could do something that's kind of like the follow-up letter.
Mm-hmm.
That just has all the different, you know, website addresses for all the different aspects.
I would think is all we would need is something that kind of has basic information and has all the links for people to be able to participate, and it wouldn't, I don't know, would it actually matter which one of those things it was? Whichever one would be kind of the snazziest and the easiest to do?
Yeah, and are we talking about a piece of paper we would hand to them or electronic?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the idea I had was a way to make it simple very quickly would be because we're going to send people the guidelines here. I sent them off today to get edited. And mm-hmm. So people will have that to print out and hand to people. And, you know, maybe people could have this other thing to print out and hand to people in a packet when they come for the first time.
Yeah, I think I can look at those and see which one I think would work best. And we'll send a PDF to you and Mickey, I guess.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Where were we? Did we finish that topic?
And I think it's always with that kind of question, it's so easy to say, I think it's clear with everyone who's doing this that there's a sense of, you know, I'm learning to be a facilitator, I'm practicing, and so to kind of say, you know, that's a great question. I think it'd probably be better if you get it answered directly from the monastery or from, and, you know, so there, refer them to the website, refer them to, you know, just all the resources, the radio show, you know, coming on retreat to the monastery, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's glad that came back up. You know, that's a basic facilitator trick. So don't answer any questions.
Just,
you do, head in the water, you know. It's just, yeah, it's really hard to stay in the role of facilitator if you start answering questions for people.
Mm.
And actually, it's nice if there is something that can be handed out and say, hey, you know, I got something for you right after group that don't explain a lot of that. Okay, let's see, the next one, let's see, well, for folks, Chris B. is not on the call, but I'll go ahead and throw this in because it's been on the list for a couple weeks, and Mickey, maybe we can email him too, and I'll help you remember. He has a website that he's made for his group, and he's wondering, well, you know, what's the appropriate procedure for that, and I know Chris L. also has a website. I don't know if anybody else does, but what I was going to suggest for that is to, for Chris B. in particular, that he'll need to update it, given where we are and what we're doing, and then maybe send it to us to look at. And then, you know, it's a static website, so that way, you know, it's not changing all the time. We need continual looking at and editing and stuff. But that way, you know, we can see what it is, make sure that we feel comfortable with it, and then it can go up and stay up. Does that seem right to other people?
Yep. Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay, and there was a larger topic. Let me see what time. Ooh, we're almost out of topic. Almost out of time. Well, maybe what we ought to do instead of that one is we need to set a time for a call next week. And Mickey, maybe between you and I, we can make a commitment to like schedule way out ahead so people can, you know, arrange their calendars around these meetings.
Yep.
For next week for us, I'm looking around to the monks, but I think Saturday is going to be no go for us. Am I right about that? Yeah. So what if we did this time next Friday, which I think would be possible for us? Next Friday at 5:30?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And, all right, so let me open it up. We've got a couple minutes. Anything else about getting started next week that people need to know? Mickey, we'll make sure people know the page number. It's just page number one in the key.
Yep.
Anything else people need in order to be ready next week?
This is Chris. Jan and I have a phone conversation tomorrow scheduled for looking at the explanation for the privileged environment points.
Oh, good. I'm glad you brought that up. I completely forgot. I meant to bring that up a minute ago.
And so we'll be trying to get something back to you guys as quick as we can.
Okay, well, we'll be keeping an eagle eye out for it, and we'll process it and get it out to people lickety-split.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Dave, also the centering meditation.
You're in trouble, Catherine. You're on your own.
Uh-oh.
No, just kidding.
Okay.
So we're page number one?
Page number one.
Okay.
Catherine, what was your question?
Oh, just getting the centering meditation out. Do you think you'll have that by Sunday? I don't have that by Sunday morning, or
I think so. That one will probably that and the guidelines. Let's see, we're going to send the centering exercise,
yeah,
the guidelines, and the other centering exercise, and we'll try to have those. Mickey, what do you think? Think we can do it by Sunday?
I think we could do it tomorrow. I hope.
Okay, good.
Great, thank
do
you.
Do our level best there, Catherine.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, this is Teresa. A really quick question.
Sure.
So if by chance no one shows up this week, I've gotten word that someone might not be able to come and I'm a little worried about the other person, do we then, starting next week, just continue on, like go to page 2 and 3?
Well, we'll send out, you know, each week there'll be an email that will go out that will say what the next week's reading assignment is.
Correct.
And
so
we'll
the
also be
just
on the call
going
to know about it. And, you know, there was the idea that, actually, Catherine had a little while ago, that if you're all by your lonesome, you know, one thing you could do is, you know the two chairs exercise?
Yeah.
You sit
yeah
in one chair and you're the person talking, and then you move to the other chair and you're facilitating? Might
yeah
be,
right,
might
right
be fun to do.
Okay, great, thanks.
Have fun, everyone. Good
yeah
luck.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
it'll
you
be fun to hear how it goes next Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. Good night.
Right.
Good
I think
night
we're done.
Thanks,
everybody.
Thank
okay
you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.